The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read it from Holy Gospel according to John. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies what he has seen and heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. We really want to see the power of God's grace. In the Bible, one of the most splendid examples is the person of Peter. One of my favorites, Fulton Sheen, says that he has two names, Simon and Peter. So Simon would be the pre-Pentecost. Peter would be the post-Pentecost. That'd be a good book to write. I've never read a book on that, but I think that that would be worthy of writing because we see it's the same person, but there's a radical change in him. So if you go through the gospel, we see Peter has moments of great inspiration, but a lot of flaws. Can you name them? One is that he's walking on the water, then he sinks. He says, "Lord, save me." Then in Caesarea Philippi, remember that passage where Jesus asks, "Who am I?" And there's a public opinion, right? Well, some say Elijah, another says you're Jeremiah, maybe John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Then Peter, what does he say? He says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." But what happens right after that? Jesus makes a prophecy that he's going to suffer his passion, and Peter remonstrates with him and takes him and says, "Lord, that can't happen to you." And Jesus calls him Satan. How would you like it if I called you Satan after the Mass? I called you nefarious, right? You'd probably get angry at me, wouldn't you? I think you would, no? Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not reasoning according to God, but you're reasoning according to human standards." And the most obvious is there at the Last Supper. He says that the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered and all of you will leave me. Peter Piper pipes up again and he says, "They will, but I'm not." Maybe imagine him. There he is. "They will, but maybe he's flexing his muscles, showing maybe a tattoo that says, 'I love grandma.'" No? And then what happens? Shortly, he's after ordained and made a bishop. There Jesus is being judged, and he's there in the courtyard. And three times they ask him, "Who are you? Aren't you the father of the Galilean?" Even your accent gives away. And he says, "I don't know him," three times. Then the cock crows. So you see the human weakness of Simon. Now I've thought often about it. How did his conversion come about? I would say that there's three steps. Are you listening? Okay, the first would be when he comes out of the courtyard and he looks into the face of Christ and then he breaks into tears. So it's gazing into the loving eyes of Christ. Try to do that in your meditation. It's a good meditation. St. Ignatius says we start off by imagina la mirada del Señor. Imagining the look of Christ. And what do you think he saw in his eyes? He was hurt, but I saw love and trust. What do you think? He was hurt because he failed him. But I think he saw, I trust you, I still love you. That's the first step of his conversion. The second would be, any Bible scholars here, what is the last verse in the Gospel? We don't know. We're not Protestants. Okay, gotcha. I was reading your mind then. Okay, we're not Protestants. Okay. But it's this. John chapter 21. The apostles are fishing. They don't catch anything except the breeze that night. And then there's a man on the shore. He says, my little children, throw the net on the other side. They obey and they catch 153 whoppers. And then Jesus feeds them breakfast. Free fish sandwiches. Okay. Then after that, this is the last verse in the Gospel. Jesus takes Peter aside and John is walking behind them on the shore of Galilee. Jesus asked Peter three questions. Remember that passage? Do you love me? Do you love me? And do you love me? Why did he ask them three times? Because he denied them three times. So there had to be a triple affirmation of love for the triple denial. Jesus was a good priest confessor, wasn't he? It's almost like you're going to confession. I'm going to give you forgive me. But you have to do penance for the fact that you have denied me three times. So that's the triple affirmation of love. But it's not over. It's not over. This had to happen. Have you ever seen the movie of Father Patrick Peyton with the Mysteries of the Rosary? One of my favorite scenes, and this is extra biblical, but Peyton's pretty faithful to the Gospel. He's about the most faithful. So it's the second glorious mystery, the Ascension. The apostles are called to Mount Olivet. Then our Lord is about to ascend to heaven. And he says, go out to all nations, teach them all I taught you, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what were the last words of Jesus in Matthew? And I'll be with you always until the end of time. Now Peyton presents it like this. He says, Lord, how are we supposed to go out and convert the whole world? We don't know anything. And Jesus doesn't deny that. He says, first go to the upper room. What is the upper room? The cenacle. So I had to go to the upper room, the cenacle, and make the first charismatic retreat. 9 days. So 9 days, 9 nights in silence with Mary and the other apostles. They pray, they fast, and then what do you have? An earthquake, fire, wind, the Holy Spirit descends with tongues of fire, and then the apostles now are, they're confirmed in grace, according to the fathers of the church. They're no longer going to be making moral mistakes. They're preaching with courage. And you hear Peter preaching. First part of the Acts of the Apostles, you have Peter getting up and preaching. Now, the first preaching was on Pentecost. Now how many converts? 3,000. 3,000 were converted and baptized. Can you imagine a homily converting 3,000 people in one homily? I'm lucky if I can convert maybe two, starting with myself. 3,000 converts. This is the same Peter. This is the same Peter that denied our Lord three times. Have you ever read the first two encyclicals of the church? The first letter of Peter and the second letter of Peter. Huh? You ever think about that? Those are the first two encyclicals in the church. One of the things that I'm really impressed by those two short letters, first letter is 5 chapters and the second is shorter, is did Peter get a double doctorate from the University of Jerusalem in English literature? No. If you read how eloquent he is. You like literature. He says, as the morning star rises in your hearts. That's better than Shakespeare. As the morning star rises in your hearts. Isn't that beautiful? Then he says, following cleverly concocted myths. That's pretty good English, isn't it? Then he says, do not throw yourself into a swamp of profligacy. Well, look up that word. What does that mean? That word, you probably don't even know what it means. It's immorality. That's really what it means. This is the same person who couldn't say that Jesus was Lord. Where did he get all this eloquence and strength? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, Teresa of Avila said we should pray for the Holy Spirit. Right, Jack? Pray for the Holy Spirit. So the same thing that happened to him can happen to us. And the other day we went to see the movie Mirando al Cielo with this little boy, and we talked about him, Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio. He was only 14 years old and he was willing to suffer so much. And constantly in the movie, you know why he said it? Maybe they picked up the band because he wanted to go to heaven. He kept saying he wanted to die as a martyr because he wanted to go to heaven. And I really believe there's one thing we don't meditate enough upon, and it's on heaven. Teresa of Avila says if we meditate upon heaven, we could carry the heaviest crosses. Think about this. In a relatively short time, we're going to die. Life is short. St. Augustine says our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Isn't Augustine great? Yeah. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. I saw your blink. There you go. That's how short it really is. We can think about that. All the sufferings are nothing in comparison with eternity. You've heard of Teresa of Avila? She says that our life is like una mala noche in una mala taverna. How's your Spanish? It's a lousy night in a lousy hotel. Not a 5-star Hilton hotel, but a lousy hotel maybe in Hawaiian Gardens if you come to visit. So that same spirit that Peter had and Jose Luis Sancho de Rio had, we can have it if we want it. And one of the prayers, I write little prayers. One of my favorite short prayers is, come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. You like that? It's short, to the point. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. So let's pray that we would be open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't go on vacation. You've heard of Aristotle. Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas used Aristotle, and he speaks about potency and act. We're in potency, which means we can always be potentially greater, but God is pure act. God is always acting for our benefit and our salvation. So let's open ourselves up to the divine invasion right now. Amen.